and the mother was making supper or dinner. She asked him to go into the pantry and get her a can of tomato soup. But, you know, being 5 years old, he didn't want to go in alone because, you know, he told the mom, "Mom, I don't want to go in there. It's dark and it's scary." Johnny said to the mom, "Mom, I don't want to go in there." So she said, "Okay, you know, you have to go in there. I need that can of tomato soup." So Johnny gave the same answer again, "Mom, I'm scared and it's dark." And, you know, the mom said, "Okay, let me try to put some courage into Johnny and some faith." And the mom said wisely to Johnny, looked him straight in the eye, and he said, "Johnny, it's okay. Jesus will be there with you." So Johnny mustered some faith and some courage in him, walked hesitantly to the door, and slowly opened it. He peeked inside, saw it was dark, and started to leave when all at once an idea came, and he said, "Jesus, if you are in there, would you hand me the can of tomato soup, please?" Wow. Fear is such a strong feeling and emotion. I agree with that, right? Fear is such a strong feeling and emotion. In a healthy way, fear can help us make godly choices or decisions that will prevent us from sinning against God and others, and will keep our minds secure to the truth of who we are in Christ Jesus. This is what I call the fear of the Lord, or having a high value, reverence, and respect to who God is, His word and what He can do, His promises, and His, and specifically His warnings. The other kind of fear is what I call the destructive or unhealthy fear. This is the kind of fear that can paralyze and disable us, hindering us in seeing God's purpose and fulfilling His call in our lives, and not allowing us to live life free from fear. This kind of fear is rooted or anchored in one's lack of faith in our Lord Jesus, His words, His promises, and His love, causing that person to be overcome by the fear of death, fear of being disremembered or forgotten, fear of being disowned, and the fear of being discouraged, which were specifically addressed by Jesus in the passage that we'll be studying this morning. You know, those are the four main points I'm going to give to you today. How to overcome the fear of death, how to overcome the fear of being disremembered or forgotten, the fear of being disowned, and the fear of discouragement. Now, let me tell you this tragic story, and it's a true story. A woman was once walking along the riverbank with her child. Suddenly, the child slipped into the river. The mother screamed in terror. She couldn't swim, besides she was in the latter stages of her pregnancy. Finally, somebody heard her screaming and rushed down to the riverbank. The other tragedy was this. When they stepped into those murky waters to retrieve the now dead child, they found that the water was only waist deep. The mother could have easily saved her child, but didn't because of lack of knowledge. As we read the main text today, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will open up our hearts and minds to receive by faith the truth of Jesus' words shared to His disciples, to encourage them not to be afraid but to have faith, warning them of the challenges, persecutions, and conflicts that was to come, but also encouraging them that the Spirit of God is there with them to help them face it and overcome it. Like in the tragic story that we just read or heard earlier, hopefully lack of knowledge or lack of truth will not become a factor in our own lives. Because for today, my prayer is that we will all grow in knowing and experiencing who Jesus is through reading His word, praying, obeying His commands. That when life challenges, persecutions, and conflicts come, knowing Jesus more, I want you to hear this, that when knowing Jesus more will help us respond in faith rather than in fear, we find ourselves panicking less and praying more, and instead of running away and leaving, we choose to stay and learn from the different situations that life throws at us so that we can grow and be more like Him. How many say amen to that? Praise the Lord. Let's read the main text for today found in Luke 12, verse 4 to 12. Amen? Is it up there on the screen? Praise God. I tell you, my friends, this is Jesus speaking, do not fear those who kill the body and after that have nothing more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, you are more valuable than many sparrows. And I tell you, anyone or everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But the one who denies me before man will be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Let's bow down our heads and pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your radical teachings, oh God, that can radically change our lives. May you give us ears to hear and a heart to obey what your Spirit will say. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Did I tell you it's going to be a hard lesson to talk about and preach, but I'll do my very best by God's grace, amen. To give you a quick background of these verses of Scripture that we read, which was actually mentioned by Pastor Alan last Sunday, is that Jesus was surrounded by two types of followers. The large group of followers were the ones who know of Jesus, okay? They're the ones who know of Jesus, but they were just there because of the miracles that he performed or the teachings that he taught. While the smaller group of followers, which are his disciples, and actual companions and friends who not only know of him, but they actually know Jesus in a more intimate and personal way because they walked with him, stayed and ate with him, assisted him when he ministered to the people, and left everything to follow him. You know, these verses that we just read was actually addressed to them and not to the larger crowds. Just like what Pastor Alan said last week. You know, there was large crowds right there. He was talking to the large crowd. And then when Luke chapter 12, verse 1 to 12 came in, man, he turned and spoke to the disciples privately. And he was encouraging them and talking to them, warning them and challenging them. Amen. These verses that we read is very important in our lives today because it warns us, like what Pastor Alan said, warning the hypocrisy of the Pharisees not to be like them. And now in verse 4 to 12, which we'll talk about, he's warning and encouraging them not to be afraid, and in a way preparing and strengthening their hearts and minds in facing the future challenges, persecutions, and conflicts that comes along with following him. So these radical teachings of Jesus mentioned in these verses that was taught to his disciples 2,000 years ago rings true to us today as it was to his disciples as followers of Christ. So this message is not only for them, but it's for us today who follow Jesus. This is why going through the sermon outline for today in the bulletin, if you open it, you will notice in the beginning of the sentence before point letter A, I put there, as Christians to overcome, ... right? And then we're going to talk about the fears that believers may encounter and how to overcome them, which Jesus addressed in these verses. Now, let's start, okay? Let's start by reading, again, verse 4 and 5. Jesus talking to his disciples. I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body and after that have nothing more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. So as Christians, to overcome the fear of death, okay, let me give you number 1, 2, and 3, right? We need to know that there is more to life than the body, which is the soul. There is faith worse than death, which is hell. There is greater power than human authority, who is God. In these two verses, Jesus was actually reminding and warning his disciples of the coming challenges and persecution that comes with following him and sharing the gospel. And the way Jesus encouraged them not to be afraid is by distinguishing to his disciples the wrong kind of fear to the proper kind of fear, which he said in verse 4 and 5, do not fear those who kill the body, and after that have nothing more that they can do. But I will warn you whom you fear. Fear him who after he has killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Indirectly in verse 5, Jesus was actually referring to himself. Because he has the authority to dispose or destroy our earthly bodies and bring eternal judgment upon our souls. You know, one of these days he will judge the living and the dead. Right? And the question we need to ask ourselves, are we ready? As Christians, this verse reminds us and warns us that we should fear God more than we fear man. It also reminds us that we should have a heavenly and eternal perspective in life while living here on earth. This is why the Apostle Paul said in Colossians 3, verse 1 to 10, one of my favorite verses of Scripture. I want us to read this. So if you have your Bibles with you, this is something for you to kind of like highlight if you have a highlighter. Colossians 3, verse 1 to 10. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Verse 5, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid of yourself all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge, in the image of its creator. As Christians, we should not use and invest our God-given time, treasures, and talents on things that have no eternal value and one day will just fade away. But we should use our God-given time, treasures, and talents in fulfilling His will, amen, advancing His kingdom, and doing works that will glorify His name, that will produce eternal rewards that nobody can steal away from you. Sometimes we put more values on things that is not really important. We worry about things that will just fade away. One day it's here, the next day it's gone. But how you spend your time here on earth, how you live your life, how you treat people, how you spend time with your family, these are the things that are very important. How funny it is, when we were younger, we don't think about time as much, but when you get older, you think now that, man, I have less time now than ever before. Remember when you were 13, 14, 15, 16, as if you have all the time in the world to do stupid stuff and think that you're not going to pay for it in the future. But how many know that today, when you're much older and wiser, and I'm sorry, you're more mature and wiser, okay, let me rephrase that. When you're mature and wiser, you think of your time. And every moment that you spend with family members, with what you have, you really think about it because you don't want to waste the time that God has given you here on earth. Amen? So it's very important. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, thank you so much. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Another way that we can overcome the fear of death is that we need to know, number four, there is no fear in love. Look at your neighbor and say, there is no fear in love. Amen, which is the cross of Christ. Let me read this for you in 1 John 4, verse 11 to 18. This is the Apostle John, inspired by the Holy Spirit. It says, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in Him and He in us. He has given us His Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Did you see that? That we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because He first loved us. Amen. How many know that Jesus loves you so much? Raise up your hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we need to live in that truth on a daily basis, so that we can live in confidence, knowing and understanding that God loves us so much. Of course, this verse doesn't, you know, excuse us from living a life that is, you know, loosely, or we just live in sin and say, oh, God will forgive me tomorrow. No, actually, the love of God will prompt you to live a holy life. Because if you love someone so much, you want to live your life not disappointing them. Am I correct? You're not abusing God's love, so therefore you are allowing God's love to fuel you to live a holy life, because you know for a fact that His opinion about you is more important than the opinion that is around you. Amen? That's why, to me, honestly, the more that I experience God's love, the more that I fall down on my knees and say, God, I don't deserve your love, but yet you gave it to me. And this will give us the confidence to face death right straight in the eye. Besides, you know, the word death here is not only talking about physical death, it also talks about eternal separation from God. So on the day of judgment, when you are in front of Jesus, you can confidently come before the very presence of God, not because of your own good works, not because you have done things for God, it's because you responded to His love for you. And you did the things for Him, not to gain quote-unquote brownie points from God. No, you are doing things for God because you have already received His favor. And by doing so, you are doing things not because you have to. You are doing things because you want to. You don't have to forgive that person. I want to forgive that person. You don't have to say no to that adulterous relationship. I want to say no to that adulterous relationship. So you don't play around in the office. Like I said last time, remember those co-workers that look at you and say, like, hi, calling you. But if you are filled with God's love, you want to say no to these things because you know for a fact you don't want to sin against Him. And because your love for God is so strong, it translates in loving people. And if you love people, you don't want to sin against them. You look at your neighbor and say, I love you with the love of the Lord. There you go. So because of the great introduction that Pastor Alan gave me, I owe you Shokao and Pepsi. Okay? That's why. Praise the Lord. Amen. The next main point I want to share to you today, which is point letter B, is about overcoming the fear of being disremembered or forgotten. It's so funny, I was doing my study. I didn't know that the word disremembered existed. I said, disremembered? I looked at, actually, it's a word. So disremembered actually means forgotten. So overcoming the fear of being disremembered. So as Christians overcome the fear of being disremembered, we need to know, number one, our worth in Him, and we need to know that we are known by Him. Amen? Jesus said in verse 6 and 7, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? And not one of them is forgotten before God. Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, you are more valuable than many sparrows. Please look at your neighbor and say, you are more valuable than many sparrows. Say, amen. You know, sometimes you can read a lot of funny things in the internet, right? So I came across this funny saying. This one is saying, it's anonymous, so I don't know who wrote it. Maybe it's Michael Santa Maria, I don't know. Maybe he says it. But I think this is a person who just, you know, got into a breakup with somebody. And he said something like this. Oh, it's not Michael, okay. It's not Michael. I don't understand. And he said something like, not said, I don't know if it's a he or she, but okay. This is the quote. The worst feeling, okay, before I say it, think about that there's violence. Okay, violence. Okay, I'm just setting the mood here, okay. And it says, the worst feeling is not being lonely. Sometimes it's being forgotten by someone you cannot forget. Let me repeat it, okay? Now think about the violence, okay? The violence, okay? The worst feeling, you know what I'm saying? Is not being lonely. Sometimes it is being forgotten by someone you can't forget. Wow. Dramatic, huh? In these two verses that we just read, Jesus reassured his disciples that I will never forget you by letting them know that you are valuable to me and that you are known by me. Here, he uses a very creative example of letting them know their value and worth that they will never forget. In the original Greek, the word used for the two pennies is asarion, or the word, please don't laugh when I say this, a farthing. Farthing, okay, F-A-R-T-H-I-N-G. Which is a brass Roman coin of little value, actually. It's just, that's why when they translate in English, it was used as a penny. It has no value whatsoever. If there's a value, it's only a small value. During that time, these sparrows were sold in markets. They were strung together or on skewers, and their cost were only 2 farthings for 5 sparrows. So if you're gonna say it in the lingo today, in other words, you know, the cost of 5 sparrows is only 2 farts. I'm sorry, erase that in tape, Pastor Frey, I'm sorry, okay. So, you know, look at this one, check this out. So Jesus painted with these words a very unforgettable picture in the minds of the disciples of their value and worth by saying to them, if the sparrows has very little value in man's eyes, they only cost 2 pennies, and yet God has not forgotten one of them. Do you see the kind of picture that Jesus was putting in the minds of his disciples? Now, every time the disciples would walk around, and during that time, there were a lot of sparrows flying. So every time that they would walk and they saw the sparrow, wow, if God is taking care of them, then he's taking care of me. So it's a daily reminder of how valuable they are. In man's eyes, these sparrows were nothing. How many of us in our own lives today have experienced some things in life and we feel that we are not valued by man because of the stupid things that we've done in the past, the mistakes that we have made, the shortcomings, the things that we have said that we regret today, that we value our personality, that we value our being? And if we live by what God, or what, I'm sorry, if we live by what man will say about us, you will not survive. But God is reminding us today, fear not, are you not more valuable than the sparrows? Don't care about what other men say, care about what I say about you. I value you. Amen. You are important to me. Please do not live by man's standards when it comes to valuing yourself. And the reason why they cannot value other people, because they cannot even value themselves. It is just a reflection. It's a reflection of what's happening in their lives. That's why to me, those people have really experienced, you know, how much God values them. They're the ones who can really value others. So instead of looking at their weakness, they see their potential. Because if you focus on people's weakness, you will never see their potential. But if you see their potential, they can help them with their weakness. Same thing with our kids. Amen? You are valuable. Amen? Doesn't matter about what happened in the past. The past is behind us. Today is a new day. And in Christ, you are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Amen? Praise the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm a new creation in Christ. Amen? All right, now it gets harder a little bit. Now, okay, let's go to the next point. The next main point, which is point letter C, is about overcoming the fear of this being disowned, or being disowned by God, okay? As Christians overcome the fear of being disowned by God, we need to acknowledge Him, Jesus, before man, and we need to believe and receive the witness of the Holy Spirit. Let us read once again verses 8 to 10. Jesus said, and I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before man, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But the one who denies me before man will be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Talk about radical teaching, right? When I was a new believer in Christ and started to grow in my faith and consistently read the Word of God, when I came across these verses of Scripture for the first time, it both troubled me, but at the same time brought a sense of holy fear in my walk with God. There are two types of sin that Jesus mentioned in these three verses. One is greater than the other because one is forgivable if you repent, but the other one is unpardonable. The first sin that Jesus mentioned is a person who denies Him before man, which is found in verse 8. There could be a number of reasons why a person could have committed this sin. The perfect example of this is the Apostle Peter, when he denied Jesus not once, not twice, but how many times? Three times. Peter feared more for his life than him acknowledging that he knew Jesus and that he was a follower of His. All of us know that that's not the end of Peter's story. Because of his remorseful and repentant heart, Jesus forgave and restored him. Amen? And here's the best thing about it, okay? After Jesus restored and forgave him, and on the day of Pentecost, after being baptized with the Holy Spirit, with the other disciples, they went to the temple courts, and Peter was the one who stood among the disciples and boldly preached the gospel message where 3,000 people gave their lives to Jesus and were added to the church. A person who denied Jesus three times was now declaring who Jesus is publicly, not fearing man, but following God, because he surrendered to the Spirit's empowerment. Maybe some of you in this place today, just like Peter, have denied Jesus before men. In fear that your family members or your friends who does not have the same faith in Jesus as you do will reject you or disown you. Some of us have even become what I call secret Christian man or secret Christian woman, saying to your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, hey, I'm a Christian. Psst, but it's only a secret, okay? Don't tell anyone, because if they found out, they might reject me, mock me, or laugh at me because of my faith in Christ. And maybe after reading this verse and you feel the Spirit of God convicting your heart, let me encourage you. Let me encourage you to do what Peter did. Repent. Ask for the Spirit of God to fill you and to empower you to be a bold witness for Jesus. If God has done it for Peter, He can also do it for you. Amen. Now it gets harder. The second sin that Jesus mentioned is far more worse than the first sin, because it goes beyond denying Jesus before men. It is blaspheming the work of the Holy Spirit and the witness of the Spirit. The word blasphemy in the original Greek that was used in this verse is defined as speak evil against, or be spoken of as evil. In reading the same account, in the other Gospels, specifically in Mark chapter 3 and Matthew chapter 12, we will get a clearer picture of who Jesus was addressing it to and why is this sin called unpardonable. First of all, it was the Pharisees or the religious leaders that he was addressing it to. Listen to this. Who maliciously and intentionally blaspheme the work of the Holy Spirit by attributing the miracles and healings done by Jesus through the Holy Spirit as the work of the devil. In the Spirit-filled Bible commentary, which was written by Pastor Jack Hayford, one of my favorite pastors, commenting on this verse and said that, I quote, "Their sin," referring to the Pharisees, "was not an act of impulse or ignorance, but the result of a continued and willful rejection of the truth concerning Jesus. It was a sin against spiritual knowledge, for they had ample evidence of the truth from the words and deeds of Jesus. In deliberately choosing to insult the Spirit, they forfeited His ministry in their lives and will not be forgiven." You know, one of our young people, after reading the same verse, was so concerned if he had committed the unpardonable sin. And it bothered him so much, convicted him so much, that he came to me and asked if he had committed that sin. You know, I learned a lot from Pastor Finn, and I thank God that I asked him this question before this person encountered me and asked me this question, and I repeated to him what Pastor Fred told me. I told him that for you to be overly concerned about it is evidence that you have not committed that sin. A person that's committed the sin will not even be concerned about it because he or she has forbidden or forfeited the work of the Spirit in their life. Make sense? Right? So these people went beyond just denying Jesus. They outrightly blasphemed the work of the Holy Spirit, calling the miracles that was done by Jesus the work of the devil. And if you go that far, I don't know if you can even, you know, hear the voice or the convictions of the Holy Spirit in your life for you to actually acknowledge, you know, that you are a sinner and ask for forgiveness. Right? So, but let me encourage you. Let me encourage you. I believe that it will take a lot for a person to get to this point of committing the unpardonable sin. It will take a lot. So don't be discouraged if you have friends or family members who seem not only to be interested in the gospel message, but who are outrightly hostile towards it. Continue to pray for them. Love them the way God loves you. You never know, maybe the Spirit of God is already at work in their hearts. Amen? I mean, God is the only one who can judge us. Amen? Let God do the judging. You know, let us do the loving. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay, and the last main point I want to share to you is point letter D, is about overcoming the fear of discouragement. As Christians overcome the fear of discouragement, we need to know the Holy Spirit as our counselor and teacher. Let me read to you verse 11 and 12. And when they bring you before the synagogue, Jesus said, and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself and how you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. And in John 14, verse 15 to 18, Jesus again said to his disciples in regards to the Holy Spirit, if you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Amen? To prepare the hearts and minds of his disciples from the coming persecutions and challenges after he leaves them and ascends to the heavens, so they will not be discouraged, he told them that the Holy Spirit is in them and will be with them as their counselor and advocate. Especially at times when they are facing oppositions that they don't know what to say or what to do. The Spirit of God will enable them to teach them what to say and what to do. We can clearly see in the ministry of the Holy Spirit that the ministry of the Holy Spirit was at work in the lives of the disciples in the different accounts in the book of Acts. Amen. How many read the book of Acts before? Right? And then you can see the hand of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the disciples during that time, helping them, encouraging them, protecting them. The encouragement for us today as believers is that the same Spirit that moved in and through the lives of the disciples 2,000 years ago still moves in and through the lives of Christians today. Amen? The Spirit of God is here to help you and I live, to continue to live for Jesus, listen to this, especially at times where it's so difficult to live for Him because of the different trials, testings, and tribulations that we go through in life. The Spirit of God gives us the wisdom to make wise and godly decisions, especially during difficult situations, to grow us and develop the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And the Spirit of God helps us to pray in accordance to God's perfect will, especially at times when we don't know how to pray for a specific situation. That is why the Apostle Paul said in Romans 8, verse 26 to 27, let me read it for you. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. How we appreciate the Spirit of God in our lives. Amen. He is here to help us. There are times that it's hard to live for Jesus. It's really hard. You know, every day that we wake up, tomorrow when we wake up, the next day when we wake up, we always choose to decide to follow God. And I believe it gets much easier if you are in a habit of obeying God. If you are in a habit of obeying God, I believe the longer that you do this, the easier that it gets. If you are in a habit of really seeking God and knowing Him, I'm not talking about in a religious or legalistic way, don't get me wrong. I'm talking about you having this intimate and wonderful relationship with Jesus, that you want to hear from Him on a daily basis, that you want to guide you in every moment that you have with people. I pray for that. And I pray for that with your kids, when I teach your kids. I always say to God, God, please help me that every moment that I have with a young person will be a moment with You, that they will see You and know You through my life. And the Spirit of God helps us to give words that to say at the right moment, at the right time. You know, the fears that we just mentioned today, the fear of death, the fear of being disremembered or forgotten, the fear of being disowned by God, and the fear of discouragement. We can overcome these fears by the grace of God. And it's only through Him. And I know maybe some of you in this place, you know, God is already challenging you to follow God, and it's difficult and it's hard. And some of you in this place, you are obeying God even when it hurts. But it is in those moments where you sense the Spirit of God moving in your life, giving you that extra strength, that extra boost to continue to follow Him no matter what. Now, let me conclude with this, and this is just a surprise to me too. One of my good friends who just passed away maybe a year or 2 years ago, his name is, you have the picture there? You remember that guy right there? Mike Velkris. And last night, when I was preaching this message, Sister Imelda came and handed me an envelope, the wife of Mike. He handed me the envelope. And it was supposed to be given to my wife and I, you know, months before, you know, he passed. And Sister Lola was very apologetic. She said, Pastor Brett, I'm really sorry, I just gave it to you right now. No, fine, God has His perfect timing, you know, in giving, you know, stuff or revealing things to us. And I have here a handwritten letter that was, Mike spoke it, right? But Sister Imelda wrote it. And I want to read it to you because it kind of sums up his journey. And it's appropriate for this message because in the midst of what he went through in his own life, he remained faithful to God until the very end. Let me read this to you. The Lord has a purpose for everything. This is Mike speaking. When I was young, around 3 years old, I remember my parents fighting most of the time. Sometimes it was violent. I was afraid. I hid. Sometimes I went to our neighbors, and they assured me that it is okay. I went to school and do things that my teacher got mad at of me. One of the teachers said she is so mad that she pulled my vest and all the buttons took off. When I was a teenager, I was lonely. I took drugs and bought stereo so that I can not hear my parents fighting. They are both alcoholic sometimes. I drive my bike or walk out. They didn't help me, so I decided to commit suicide. I even gave all my records, car, etc. to my friends. Two of my cousins, uncle and niece, did it. I can do it too. Because I read a lot, I went to the library and read the book of Billy Graham. I accepted the Lord as my Savior. I had a classmate, his father was a pastor, so I walked. So I asked him, I went with him in church and gave my testimony that evening. Where I met my wife a year later. I was diagnosed having MS or multiple sclerosis. Gradually, I am getting worse now. I can even feed myself. But the Lord is good. He gave me peace of mind. Even when I was in a coma, the devil kicked me around. But when I called out for Jesus, he got off right away. Truly, if you trust and obey Jesus Christ, He will give you peace of mind, and someday I will be with Him. My favorite verse, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Brother Mike Velkers. Even up to today, He speaks to us. Maybe some of you are ready to throw in the towel because it's so difficult. Afraid to stand up for your faith because of the persecutions that you're facing from family members. Maybe you're afraid of being forgotten by God because you're just so overwhelmed by the different trials that you went through. I like what Sister Linda said earlier, our hope is in the Lord. And we need to get it back to that right mindset, knowing and understanding that God is not against us, but God is for us. That God does not want you only to start the race or to run fast. It's not about running fast or finishing first. It's finishing faithfully. And my encouragement for all of us is this, that we will not allow the fears that Jesus warned the disciples 2,000 years ago. As you follow me, it's not going to be a bed of roses. There are times it will be a bed of thorns. And the only encouraging thing that you can look at while you're in the bed of thorns are the roses itself. My prayer this morning is that all of us will experience the filling of the Spirit. It's like what we read, so that the disciples won't be discouraged. Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. The Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth will be with you. Things may not be going the way you want it to go at this moment. And maybe you're confused because you've been praying a lot, you've been doing the things that you ought to do as a believer in Christ, but you're not getting the results that you want. God sees the big picture. We only see what's in front of us. And my encouragement for you today is this. If that is true, if God sees the big picture and only see what's in front of us, then we need to live by faith so that we can see the bigger picture and not the picture that is in front of us. So that we can move on and go on, continue to follow Jesus and not give up. Amen.